الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. When Abu Abdullah buried his 6-month-old baby, he returned back towards the tents calling out, أما من ناصر ينصرنا أما من مغيث يغيثنا أما من ذا من يذب عن حرم رسول الله. When he came back towards the tent of his sons, he saw none of his sons there anymore. When he went towards the tent of his brothers, he saw none of his brothers there anymore. When he went towards the tent of the sons of Aqil, he saw none of them there anymore. When he went towards the tent of his companions, he saw none of them there anymore. But he wanted to honor his companions, so he went out on the battlefield in Karbala, and he wanted to collect the body of each of his companions. So he called out, Ya Habib ibn Mudahir, wa ya Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, wa ya Muslim ibn Awsaj, wa ya Abtal al-Safa, wa ya Fursan al-Hayja, ma li unadikum fala tasma'un, wa ad'ukum fala tujibun, wa antum niyamun arjukum tantabihun, fahadihi nisa'a lil-Rasul, فقد علاهن من بعدكم النحول فقوموا عن نومتكم أيها الكرام وادفعوا عن آل الرسول الطغاة اللئام. إذ يا حبيب بن مظاهر ويا زهير بن القين ويا مسلم بن عوسجة O valiant warriors and O brave fighters, why is it that I call you but you do not hear me? Why is it that I invite you, but you do not answer my invite? Get up from your sleep and have a look. These are the daughters of Rasulullah with nobody to protect them. These are the daughters of Rasulullah with nobody to protect them. So rise from your positions and come and defend them from these evil oppressors that are in front of us. He collected the bodies and he brought back them back to the tents. It's as if the poet recites, I brought back everybody, but there's one body by the Furat which I can't bring back. The body of my brother Abu Fadl. The poets say, O my Abu Fadl, my back is broken without you. How I long to see you now next to me, to come and stand alongside me. Oh, Abu Fadl, I never thought there'd be a day where you're not standing next to me. Oh, Abu Fadl, come and see all these soldiers as they approach me. He went into the tent of the woman of Al-Muhammad. When he went in this tent, the woman began to wail and they began to cry. Knowing Abu Abdullah was now completely alone, without his soldiers and without his family, he looked at all of them crying and he said to them, have patience and have strength. After me, Allah will avenge what has happened, and He will protect you, and He will look after you, and He'll make sure that you are blessed for what you have done. When the woman started crying, there was an ill son of Abu Abdullah lying on the ground. When he heard the woman crying, he awoke from his state of illness, and he said, give me a stick and give me a sword. They said to him, why do you want a stick and why do you want a sword? He said, I want a stick so I can stand up, and a sword so I may defend my father when he says, هَلْ مِنْ نَاصَرِ يَنْصُرُنَا. Abu Abdullah looked at him and he said, O my son Zain al-Abidin, you are the purest and the nobles of my descendants after me. Who will there be to protect the destitute and the needy and the orphans of Al-Muhammad after I have passed away? He told Sayyidah Zainab, go and stop him and sit him down. For you know if he dies, then there will not remain anyone of Al-Muhammad after this day. He then called out, O Ruqayya, O Sukayna, O Zainab, O Kulthum, and the rest of the mothers of Al-Muhammad. He called them out and he said, come and pledge your allegiance to the Imam after me. Imam Zainul Abidin. He then was about to leave the tent and he heard a call, Mahlan, Mahlan, Ibn al-Zahra. He heard a call, wait, oh, wait, oh, son of Zahra. He recognized this call, because remember the two of them saw their grandfather Rasulullah die together. The two of them saw their mother Fatima when the door was pushed on her. The two of them saw Amir al-Mu'mineen when the sword struck him. The two of them saw Imam al-Hasan when the bowl was in front of him. It's as if Sayyidah Zainab is calling out, Aba Abdullah, is this a time for a brother to leave his sister? Amma Abdullah turned round to her and he said to her, my dear Zainab, when my mother Fatima al-Zahra was lying on the bed on her final moments, she called you and she whispered something to you. When I asked you, you said to me, in Karbala, I will tell you. Now I am in Karbala, tell me what is it that she said. Sayyidah Zainab faced towards Medina when she was talking to Aba Abdullah. It's as if she wanted her mother to hear this amana being passed on. She said, Aba Abdullah, show me your neck and show me your chest. Aba Abdullah showed her the neck and he showed her the chest. She said, Aba Abdullah, let me kiss your neck and let me kiss your chest. He came, she kissed his neck and she kissed his chest. She said, my mother Zahra told me, Aba Abdullah will be walking one day on the battlefield alone. I want you to kiss his neck and to kiss his chest. And I want you to kiss the head. It's as if Fatima al-Zahra knew that this neck would no longer be there anymore. It's as if Fatima al-Zahra knew that this chest would be trampled by the horses of Bani Umayyah. It's as if Fatima al-Zahra knew that this head would be struck by the stones of the opposition. She then came to Aba Abdullah. She said to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, this is a shirt my mother said give to Aba Abdullah. Why? So that it may protect you when you fight. Aba Abdullah thanked her. He then put his hand on her chest and he said, O Zainab, remain patient with what you're going to see. He asked her to give him some garments. She gave him a trouser at that moment. He said, give me more garments because I need to cover myself. He then left the tent and he came out. That was known as the first wida. There is a second wida to come. He came out in front of the opposition of Umar ibn Sa'ad. He said, O Umar ibn Sa'ad, I ask you for three requests. Umar ibn Sa'ad said, what is it? He said, the first request is that you give me some water, for I am thirsty. The second request is that you allow my woman to be returned to Medina safely. He said, the third request is what? That you fight me on one-on-one combat and no more than that. Umar ibn Sa'ad said, as for your first request, we will not give you any water. As for your second request, we will not let your woman return safely. As for your third request, okay, the soldiers will fight you on one-on-one combat. Aba Abdullah then looked at them and he said, O soldiers, do you not know that I am the grandson of Rasulullah? MashaAllah. Do you not know that I am the grandson of Rasulullah? Do you not know that my grandmother is Khadija bint Khuwaylid? Do you not know that my father Ali ibn Abi Talib was the first to accept the call of Islam? Do you not know that my mother is Fatima al-Zahra? Do you not know that my uncle Ja'far flies with wings in heaven? They said, yes we do. He said, then why do you kill me? They said, we will strike you 100 swords out of vengeance for what your father did to our ancestors at Badr and Uhud. أما عبد الله now came out alone with his sword. Narrations say that every one-on-one combat Aba Abdullah would get past. He would strike everyone that would come towards him. It's as if this lion was piercing through the enemies one by one. He then, Abdullah ibn Umar al-Yaghuth narrates, I saw Aba Abdullah fighting like a lion that has never been seen before. He then says that Aba Abdullah managed to get through them and reach the river Furat. When he reached the river Furat, he had been thirsty for a number of days. When he reached that river, he was about to drink. He then saw his horse in one narration called Maimun, in another called Dhul-Janah. He saw the horse come forward and bow its head towards the water. Aba Abdullah said, Oh my horse, you drink before me. You are thirsty, I cannot bear to see you thirsty. It's as if this horse knew that Aba Abdullah was thirsty. The horse turned around and it's as if he wanted his master to drink before him. All of a sudden, Umar ibn Sa'ad Dhami called out, Oh Hussein, you drink water while your women are being attacked. He put the water down, he went back on his horse, he went back towards his tent, and then he realized that it was only a lie to deceive him away from drinking water before he fought. When he returned back to the tent, he entered the tent. This is known as the final wida. He entered the tent, he embraced everybody and they all began to cry when embracing him. He then, before he left, he said, Where is my baby Sukaina? I want to see her. Imagine how hard it is, brothers and sisters, for a father to bid farewell to his daughter like this. Now I want you then to imagine how hard it is for a daughter to bid farewell to her father. Those of you who have lost your fathers, do you remember those final moments when your father died? Remember, open your heart when your father died. You remember how his face looked and then all of a sudden you were told, no, there's no more of him. Some of us here were at our father's funeral. How about those of you who couldn't make it? You were in a different country. I leave it for you to remember those moments. And that moment, he said, Where is my daughter Sukaina? Sayyidina Zainab said, Sukaina can't bear to come and see you. She doesn't know what to tell you, knowing you're going away. He went towards Sukaina. She was sitting with her head between her knees. With her head between her knees, he came to her and he said to her, My daughter Sukaina, come next to me. She said to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, have you submitted yourself towards death? He replied by saying, Oh Sukaina, I have no one to support me anymore. She replied, Father, why don't you just take us back to Medina? What does the father reply to his daughter? Father, why don't you take us back to Medina? He replied to Sukaina, You must remain patient with everything that you're going to see after this day. He then embraced and was about to leave. All of a sudden, as he was about to ride his horse, he heard a young girl of 3 years old call out, My father, come down from this horse, let me see you. Who was it? It was his young daughter, Ruqayya. I ask Ruqayya, the next time you saw your father was when his head was on a plate. Ruqayya came down to her father. She said to him, Oh my father, listen to this one request from this young girl. She said, Oh my father, would you pat my head one final time? It's as if Ruqayya saw Hamida, the daughter of Muslim, when she became an orphan, Aba Abdullah patted her head. It's as if now she's saying, I want you to pat my head as well. Aba Abdullah patted her head. He was in the tent. All of a sudden, Umar ibn Sa'ad said, Shower your arrows on the tent of the man. Do not let him come out.
All of a sudden arrows were showered on the tent of Abu Abdullah. Then a few of the soldiers tried to enter the tent from the opposition. Abu Abdullah came out. He began to attack these soldiers one after another. He made them all run away from him. He began to fight them valiantly. He was sitting on his horse fighting them. Umar ibn Sa'd said, "If you cannot then fight him with your swords, then O archers, get ready. Shower his body with arrows. Do not allow the man to survive." All of a sudden, hundreds of arrows were showered on the body of Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah tried to pull out the arrows that were on his body, but he remained on his horse. All of a sudden, one of the arrows struck the forehead of Abu Abdullah. He tried to pull out that arrow. Suddenly someone threw a stone on the chest of Abu Abdullah. The blood gushed out and some of the blood went on his eye. He couldn't see now as he was removing it. And there was some white which was showing from his chest. Umar ibn Sa'd looked at Harmala. He said, "Harmala, strike him now." Harmala struck him with the three-pointed arrow on the chest of Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah, this was the moment he fell from his horse. When he fell now, he was lying on the ground. Narrations say, Abu Abdullah looked like a hedgehog on the ground. Have you seen the hedgehog with the spikes? Imagine the son of Fatima al-Zahra with arrows covering. Abu Abdullah was now on the ground. A man came towards him. Abu Abdullah, even when on the ground, was saying, "Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati rasulillah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." A man came towards him. Abu Abdullah was lying. There was a solitary helmet which had covered his hair on top of him. And this man came and struck the helmet, and the sword pierced through the head of Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah said, "May Allah take vengeance for these people who have struck the son of the daughter of Rasulullah." Hussein al-Tamimi said, "What do you mean, may Allah take vengeance?" Another man came and he struck Abu Abdullah. Another came and hit the shoulder of Abu Abdullah. Now Abu Abdullah was lying alone with his body covered completely by arrows. Shimr bin al-Jawshan looked at Umar bin Sa'd. He said, "Is the man alive or is he dead?" Imam al-Rawa says, "My grandfather wasn't killed, he was slaughtered." And they said to him, "What do you mean?" He said, "When you are killed, you know when your death is coming. Whereas when you are slaughtered, you don't know when they're going to come and kill you." He was lying on the ground. Nobody dared to come near him. People were wondering, is he dead or is he alive? All they could see was that he was moving one way and the other while on the ground. All of a sudden, what they do, one of them said, "Let's say we're going to attack his woman. If the man is alive, he'll never rest. If he knows we're attacking his sister Zainab, if he knows we're attacking Kulthum." All of a sudden, one of them called out. He said, "We're going to go and attack the woman." Abu Abdullah tried to stand up, but he fell down again. He tried to stand up and he fell down again. He then called out, "O soldiers of Abu Sufyan, even if you don't have a religion, and even if you don't fear the day of judgment, then at least be free men. Leave the woman alone. If you want to kill me, kill me, but don't touch my woman." At this moment Shimon said, "Listen to the man, leave his woman, but go and attack him." They started attacking him one after another. All of a sudden, from the tent of the woman, this 11-year-old came running out. He said, "Leave my uncle alone. If you're going to strike my uncle, you have to strike me." It was Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Hasan. He came and he sat by his uncle and he put his hands up. He said, "You will never get to my uncle while I am alive." All of a sudden, an arrow was sent towards his chest. Then someone struck his right hand. He turned around and he said, "My uncle, they have cut my right hand." The arrow eventually killed the nephew of Abu Abdullah. Now Abu Abdullah was alone. These were his final moments. May Allah reward you for patience in what I'm going to narrate. Abu Abdullah was lying now alone. Umar ibn Sa'd could hear Sayyidah Zainab call out. Sayyidah Zainab couldn't see Abu Abdullah. All she could see were soldiers around him. She came out and she called out, as the poet say, "Stop that small moaning noise and the involuntary movements of your legs." Because Abu Abdullah, his legs were moving slowly one after another. She then called out to Umar ibn Sa'd. She said, "Umar ibn Sa'd, how dare you do this to my brother, and you watch what is happening." Umar ibn Sa'd called out, "Relieve the man of his pain and now finish him." Suddenly one after another started coming. And they'd come and they'd see the nur of Abu Abdullah and they'd walk away. He'd say, "Why are you not killing him?" And they'd say, "We can't kill this man. We look at his face and we see like the moon is shining." Khawalla went towards him. He walked away. Others went towards him. They walked away. Suddenly a group of men came. One of them struck the right hand of Abu Abdullah. The second struck the left hand of Abu Abdullah. Another got his spear and put it in the chest of Abu Abdullah. But still none of them had killed him. All of a sudden, Shimr bin Joshan said, "If none of you will kill the man, then I will go and kill him." Shimr bin Joshan came near him, saying, "Zainab cannot see what's happening." All of a sudden, Sayyidah Zainab sees Shimr sitting on the chest of Abu Abdullah. Narration say to us that when Imam al-Baqir narrates, Imam al-Baqir says, "When my father Zain al-Abidin, when he was dying, I came near him, I embraced him, and suddenly he began to cry. I said to him, 'My father, why is it that you cry when I embrace you?' In a moment you will see Rasulullah. In a moment you will meet Amir al-Mu'mineen. In a moment you will see Fatima al-Zahra. In a moment you will see Imam al-Hasan. In a moment you will see your father Abu Abdullah." He began to cry. I said to him, "Why?" He said, "Because my son, when I am dying, you are on my chest. Whereas when my father was dying at Karbala, do you know who sat on his chest when he was on the cross?" Brothers and sisters, I'm going to bring you to the moment. MashaAllah, those are, MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Fatima al-Zahra, listen to the tears. We have not let you down. Fatima al-Zahra and Imam al-Hujjah. Imam al-Hujjah. Your grandfather, we will never forget him. When Fatima al-Zahra was dying, I'm going to take you to each of Al Muhammad, because all of them know about this moment. When Fatima al-Zahra was dying, Imam al-Hasan came near her. Imam al-Hussein came near her. Imam al-Hasan said to her, "Mother, it is me, Hassan." When Imam al-Hussein came near, he said, "Mother, it is me, Hussein." All of a sudden, it is narrated that Jibreel came to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said to him, "Remove Hussein from the chest of his mother." Why? Because the angels cannot take seeing Abu Abdullah on the chest of his mother. I'd like to ask the angels, if you couldn't take seeing Abu Abdullah on the chest of his mother, how did you take seeing Shimr on the chest of Abu Abdullah? When Amir al-Mu'mineen was struck by the sword, أبا عبد الله held his head. أمير المؤمنين said to him, يا أبا عبد الله, you hold my head now. Whereas who's gonna hold your head on the 10th of Muharram? When Imam al-Hassan vomited out that liver in the bowl, he tried to cover the bowl so Sayyidah Zainab would not see it. But then he said, she will not see this bowl now, much what happens when she sees the bowl with the head of my brother Abu Abdullah. When Shimon sat on the body of Abu Abdullah, Imam Zain al-Abidin was asking his auntie, auntie, what do you see? She says, I see your father. I see his feet moving uncontrollably. I do not know what is happening. Brothers and sisters, may Allah reward you. Shimon came. He pulled the beard of Abu Abdullah. He pulled the neck which Rasulullah used to kiss. Sayyidah Zainab called out, I ran. He drew and I drew. He severed and I severed. He ran towards the killing field. I ran towards the killer. He drew his dagger. I drew my brother's rope. He severed my brother's head. I severed my brother's grief. He pulled the neck. He struck the neck 12 times. And now in heaven.
When the horse returned, Sukaina bint al-Husayn was the first to come to the horse. And she looked at it and she said, oh horse, where is my father who was sitting on you? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لنا قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحابه الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to honor Muhammad and Al Muhammad this year and every year. Allow us to follow their teachings. Allow us to honor the grandsons of Aba Abdullah, Zain al-Abidin, Muhammad al-Baqir, Ja'far al-Sadiq, Musa ibn Ja'far, Ali ibn Musa, Muhammad al-Jawad, Ali al-Hadi, Hassan al-Askari, and al-Hujjat ibn al-Hassan. Allow us to be amongst his servants and the servants of the message of Islam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us amongst those who visit the land of Karbala. Allow us every year to have the honor to be alongside the grave of Aba Abdullah and the companions of Aba Abdullah and the family of Aba Abdullah, all those who sacrificed their lives for the message of this religion. Ya Allah, allow us to allow the Muslim world to continue to honor him, and that we unite the Muslim world. May Allah bless your tears, those of you who are still. May Allah bless you. And these tears will speak. They will speak on the Day of Judgment. As you know, tonight we have a majlis here. It's Shama Gharib, and tonight is the majlis here. And tomorrow will be the final majlis in Bayview, inshaAllah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of salawat.